Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 14, 11, verse number 14, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Now look at Proverbs chapter 15, Proverbs chapter 15 and verse number 22, Proverbs 15, verse 22, without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. And then if you will, take your Bible and go on to Proverbs chapter number 19, Proverbs chapter number 19. And look at verse number 20 and verse number 21, Proverbs 19, verse 20 and 21. Hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. And then we see in Proverbs chapter 28, Proverbs 28, and verse number 26, Proverbs 28, verse number 26, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that we'll take these principles tonight as we continue to teach on this matter of courtship. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would use the Bible principles to guide our young people, help our parents. And Lord, we pray, dear God, as we raise young people for your glory here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, that they would, Lord, that they would be raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and in this very important, crucial decision of their life, that you'll protect them, please, dear God, guard them. Lord, we have learned that not only do you have a will for their life, but we know the devil would like to wreck and ruin and cause havoc in their life, and limit, Lord, their long-term potential for you. So I pray, Lord, that all of us tonight would be very tender-hearted to the Scriptures. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm going to talk about these Scriptures and some others tonight. We're covering now the seven royal laws of courtship. And again, we're not going to spend a lot of time each night reviewing. These sermons are online. If you happen to miss one of them, you can go online and listen to it. Also, the booklet, The Seven Royal Laws of Courtship, is available back in our little book area there. You can go by and purchase it if you'd like to get a copy. But we are on our fourth royal law of courtship, and this is the fourth royal law. By the grace of Almighty God, our marriage will have the blessing of both sets of parents and our pastor, both sets of parents and our pastor. I want to say some things in preface to this because of the book, The Stay in the Castle, because of the seven royal laws of courtship, there are some, I'm going to use the word somewhat extreme, I think sincere people, but somewhat extreme people in their views that have tried to convince people that Pastor Jerry Ross is for arranged marriages. I'm not for arranged marriages. What do you mean by arranged marriages? I'm talking about where a husband and a wife, a mom and dad, see that they have a daughter, and so they start meeting with other moms and dads and figuring out what would be a good match, and with no involvement of either the son or the daughter in the process, they seal the deal. Now, if there was a dowry involved and a hefty one, since I had three girls, I probably could have been talked into, you know, if the price was right, I don't know, but I'm not for that. I'm not for that. I've watched some of our sincere, and I mean this, some of the people that are involved in this are good, sincere people, and I mean good pastor friends of mine. But I've watched this thing float over to the point where you have to be careful, folks. If you're going to go to the Old Testament and you're going to treat as biblical principle everything that was Jewish custom, Old Testament Jewish custom before marriage, then you also have to take everything that they participated in after marriage and hold it to the same level, proclaiming it as Bible principle and precepts, okay? And so there are some things that were Jewish custom that are not Bible principles. I don't think any of you are probably for your husband going out and finding a couple more wives and some concubines. So what I'm saying is be careful that if you're going to say, well, what they did before marriage, it's Bible, well, then you better take a look at the whole picture there and decide what you're going to believe, okay? And I'm not for the idea of two parents espousing their sons and their daughters to each other. Honestly, I believe it's ludicrous. There's extreme teaching, some of that floating around. But on the same, quickly, let me say following that, I do believe that a wise young person will lean heavily on their parents' counsel and insight during the courting process. You see, some of you wouldn't be absolutely against arranged marriage, especially if you're a young person, but you are so foolish that you swing the pendulum all the way to the other direction where you don't think mom and dad ought to have any say, any advice, as one of our very foolish young ladies recently told her parents, you know, I'm 18. When it comes to who I marry, date and marry, it's none of your business. I can promise you that young lady's doomed. God heard her pride. God heard her words. And other than repenting and getting right with both God and her parents, she pretty much is guaranteed to marry out of the will of God. Don't get that kind of arrogance, okay? Because the Bible has given you your parents. And let me tell you, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but no two people know you better than your mom and your dad. And the number one person, the number two person on your board of counselors ought to be mom and dad, especially in this matter of marriage. And so I'm going to get to that in just a minute. Let me give you some good Bible instruction on this that'll help you. Okay, I believe God has given you your parents, and I believe God has given you, I'm including also your pastor or pastor. Sometimes there's two pastors involved. You know, if God leads you to some young lady, some young man from another church, I think both sets of parents and I think both pastors ought to be able to take a look at this situation, counsel with the young people, and all walk out of there going like this, hey, you know what? We feel good about this. We're willing to give our blessing to this. And so, again, let me give you some good things to think about, some good Bible principles and why we believe that. Number one, counsel is essential when you are dealing with matters of the heart. Counsel is essential when you're dealing with matters of the heart. We looked at Proverbs 19, verse 20 and 21. You're there, glance back there. Proverbs 19, verse 20 and 21 encourages us. And by the way, remember this, young people. The entire book of Proverbs, the context of the book, is Solomon writing down these proverbs for his son. So these proverbs are from a father to his son. And he says, hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in the latter end. Watch this. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Now, when we study this matter of the heart, we're talking about the Bible defines the heart as the seat of emotion, all right? The seat of emotion. And folks, listen to me. There are many devices in a man's heart. Which means this, you can feel very strongly emotionally about something now, and if you fast forward 6 months, you may feel the exact opposite about that later on emotionally. So when you're making decisions that affect your heart, and by the way, love is one of the strongest, most powerful emotions that there is. And because of that, we can feel strongly, very emotionally, very strong in this in one moment, and down the road feel just the opposite. There was a young lady that I counseled that I knew was marrying outside of God's will. He's, preacher, how do you know that stuff? Well, she was marrying a lost man for one thing. We'll get to some of that in a minute. But there was also, she was in rebellion against her parents in the process. And I looked at her, we had a meeting together, and I told her, as much as you are convinced and as strongly as you think you love this young man, I am telling you as your pastor that within 2 or 3 years, you will feel that strong of emotion, only it won't be love. It'll be hatred for the very person that you're entering into this contract with. No, 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 no. By the way, be careful when the preacher speaks out. I guarantee you that exact scenario played out where this young lady who could not be talked out of a decision because she was in love. And nobody understood but her. Nobody got it. And mom and dad didn't get it. The preacher didn't get it. And it's going to work out. And within just a few years, they had separated. And literally, she could not stand the sound of that young man's voice to be near him, to be around him. What are you saying? There's many devices in the heart of a man. Okay, there's many devices. Bible says this, the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. Who can know it? So what does the rest of the verse say? Stay with me. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Now watch this. God still made us with emotions. And emotions are part of the process. But emotion should never trump Bible principle or Bible precept. Which means this, young people, please listen to what I'm going to say. By the way, read the Stay in the Castle booklet. I saved a young lady's entire future and long-term potential for the Lord because she was at a time and point where her heart was feeling so strong about something. Her very words were this. You know, my words describing her situation was she was feeling so much she couldn't think. And if you don't think this thing isn't a powerful thing, especially in young people, it is. It's an overwhelming thing. And as much as and as strongly as you may feel about a situation, watch this. If you what you feel is right is against plain principles and precepts of the Bible, and if the Bible says what you're doing is wrong and everything inside of you that you feel is telling you it's right, then you need to always, always submit yourself to the principles of God's word. Because watch this. In 6 months, God's word will not have changed. But in 6 months, your emotions could have totally changed about this. And that's why we read again, go over to Proverbs 28, verse number 26. I quote this verse a lot. But the Bible says, he that trusteth in his own heart, Proverbs 28, 26, that he that trusteth in his own heart, this is strong language, is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. And remember that little phrase there, whoso walketh wisely. Because we're going to go in a minute to the verses on counseling. And you know what is explained to us over and over and over and over and over again? How wise it is to get counsel. How, if we're going to walk according to counsel and receive counsel, how wise we are. How safe that is. How purposes can be disappointed if we discount counseling. And so he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Now watch this. Stay with me. One of the most popular pieces of advice that the world propagates over and over through its movies and music is this. You've got to follow your heart. And young people, I don't know what it is about young people, but they gravitate to that. They grab those things. I mean, you go to the average Pinterest page or Facebook page of a 17, 18, 19, a lot of times 13, 14, and you'll see these quotes all about, you got to be true to yourself. Wait a minute, I thought you had to be true to God. You needed to follow your heart. I thought you had to follow the Bible. And all I'm saying is this, if you're going to write those things down, then put a Bible verse beside them that supports the philosophy that you're now adopting for your life. Be careful, please. I'm just blowing the trumpet. Be careful. One of the most popular pieces of advice, I mean, folks, it's in the movies, it's in the music over and over again. If you don't know what to do, just listen to your heart and you'll never go wrong. What did I just read you? The Bible says this, if you follow your heart, you're a fool. You listen to your heart, you're a fool. The heart, again, is the seat of the emotion. Emotions change. Okay, but Bible principle does not change. And so be careful about that. The counsel that the Bible gives us is not intended or has not as its goal to appeal to the pride of man, but this follow your own heart, that appeals to your own pride. In other words, you can know, and only you can know, and if everybody else is against it, you know, we're going to get this Romeo and Juliet, us against the world thing. I was in an elevator just recently in a motel and good old elevator music. Had a little country western station going. And the entire song was about this guy who was talking in his latter years about him and his wife's relationship. And over he repeated in the song how her mother and dad was against it. But they were wrong, and mom and dad was wrong, and they were right, and see, it worked out anyway. And by the way, that's not just country western music. That is the theme of song after song after song after song after song. It's always, why is it always in the songs, mom and dad was against it, mom and dad tried to say it wasn't right, they were wrong, we were right. I wonder who's helping these people write the music. I wonder if God's involved in any of that. I wonder if a preacher that says, turn off the stupid rock music and the love songs and the country western station might be just trying to save your life, okay? Because the devil has a way of taking his anti-Bible philosophies and weaving them into the modern culture so that you can become convinced subconsciously of something that is absolutely anti-Bible, all right? So be careful. Why wouldn't the devil appear to your pride? That's what he did in Eve. He went to Eve and said, listen, you know, I know what God says as far as the rules around here, but you can be as gods, knowing good and evil. And isn't it something that all of a sudden, here we go, all these years later, the devil's still using the same tricks. Now, okay, so if we've got to be careful in this matter of something that, a decision that involves strong emotions, if we've got to be careful of something that we're emotions can often override even our own good judgment. I don't care what arena it's in. Be careful, okay? Sometimes we feel so strongly, it's hard to think straight. It's hard to make good decisions. That's why God has provided us with a safety net called counsel, okay? Proverbs 11:14, we read it. Where no counsel is, the people fall. Now, think about that. God says this, if you're going to make decisions and you're going to eliminate this Bible principle as far as getting counsel, then you're going to fall a lot in life, okay? And so be careful about, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Now, a lot of times, folks, when I'm making, and I do not make any major decision in my life without seeking counsel. Well, preacher, you're the pastor, which means it's that much more important that I make good decisions. I'm not making any major decision in my life without seeking counsel. And I seek a multitude of counselors, okay? I'm not taking an opinion poll. I'm going to ask 15 people till I can find the one that tells me what I want to do anyway, all right? That's not what it's talking about here. It's talking about going to people who have an understanding of the Bible. Going to people that have an understanding of the precepts and principles of the Bible. Going to people who have been successful. Why is it the people that have failed in areas seem like they're the first one that want to give counsel to other people? Okay? And why do you, listen, I may have gone through the Bible principles, precepts in my mind. I'm going to make this decision. I might be 99% sure, 99.9% sure I'm right. Hey, what's it going to take? What's it really going to cost to pick up a phone, take 15 or 20 minutes and talk to two or three men of God and just make sure that I'm not missing anything? Okay, because why would you take the time if you're pretty sure? Because of this principle. And there has been a handful of times in my ministry where a man just said this, you know, preacher, I hear what you're saying, but have you thought about this? No. And sometimes it's not that it's going to make it so that that the decision I was going to make was wrong, but the way I was going to implement the decision could have been done more wisely. And so counsel is valuable in this. Proverbs 15:22, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. Now you can say, yeah, but preacher, I'm just going to make it work. You can purpose to do things. I mean, you can just set your will, set your stubbornness, and you're going to make this thing work, and I'll show everybody. But the Bible says, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. I don't want, young people, listen, I don't want you to be disappointed in life, and I don't want you to be disappointed in your marriage. And so this very important thing, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. So you want your purposes disappointed, or you want your purposes established. Now, counsel will keep you from falling. It will prevent disappointments. There's safety in a multitude of counselors. Don't try to work through this complicated emotional maze called life without the help of wise people God has put over you and around you that will help you make these decisions, especially on the second most important decision of your life. Number two, no two people in the world know you better than your parents. Because this is true, the chief counselors in your cabinet of wise counselors should be your parents. Now, I'm going to stop and just say this, folks. Every once in a while, there's a rare exception to this, and let me tell you what it is. I have had moms and dads counsel, I'm talking about lost moms and dads without Jesus Christ, counsel their young people, counsel their children away from the will of God and counsel them against Bible precepts and principles. One of the things I want to say often here, because you know what? I understand God has given human authority in certain arenas of life, but nobody gets to be God but God. Nobody has total authority in anybody's life but God. All right? Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Okay? Wives, submit your own selves to your parents as unto, All right, now you better listen up, okay? I have been given as a pastor a certain amount of authority in the church. But you know what? I don't get to play God, which means if Jerry Ross gets up and starts telling you to do things that are against the word of God, you know what? We call those unlawful laws, all right? And by the way, that's in every arena. Husbands, listen to me. That's in your arena of life. You don't get to be God either. Dad, you don't be God either. Some of these extreme groups I was telling you about, I'm telling you, I know some parents that have God complexes. And I'm gonna deal with that in just a minute. They really have God complexes. I had a dad one time look at me and say to me, when it comes to my children, I am God to them. And I looked at him and said, no, sir, you are not. What a statement. What a thing to say. What arrogance. Excuse me? You're to raise those children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Your job is to strengthen their relationship with God, because one of these days you're not going to be there and they need to have a strong relationship with God. Our job around here is to point them to the Lord, grow them up into the Lord. They're going to need God long term, okay? And so be careful about that. But having said that, young people, listen to me. Your parents still know you better than anybody else knows you. You may have a mom and dad that's unsaved, but that don't mean that they're dumb. And that don't mean that they don't know you. And that doesn't mean that they don't love you. And that doesn't mean that they can't see some things much clearer than you could ever see them. And so be careful about discounting the counsel of your parents. And I mean that, even whether they're saved or whether they're lost. If they're not giving you anti-biblical counsel, then you know what? You better listen to it. You better listen to it, because they would be your chief counselors. Now, no two people in the world know you better than your parents, all right? And because of that, number three, listen to me, give your parents veto power. Veto power. Now, I want to explain what veto power is, okay? If your parents strongly feel that a certain young person you're attracted to is not God's will for their life, then you need to listen to them. Go to Judges chapter number 14. Judges chapter number 14. And I want to show you an instance where this happened in the Bible. And I think without studying out the entire life story, because of our knowledge of the Bible, we'll be able to see the conclusion rather quickly. Judges chapter number 14. Judges chapter number 14. Notice chapter 14, Judges 14, verse number 1. Judges 14, 1. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother. Doesn't sound like to me he's asking them for counsel, does it to you? He told, too many young people telling mom and dad, all right? Told his father and mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said to him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all thy people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. By the way, this same woman would eventually betray him and break his heart. All right, mom and dad's trying to save him at this point. They're exercising what they should exercise, and that's called veto power, all right? Now, let me say a couple things. If your parents strongly feel that a certain young person you're attracted to is not God's will, you need to listen to them. Now, let me stop and talk to the parents a minute, all right? Some of you control freaks will take what I just said, and you're going to say, I don't believe in arranged marriages, but you really do, because you don't want your son or daughter choosing their life mate. You want to do it. So you're going to veto anybody and everybody till they marry who you think they ought to marry. That is not right. That's not fair. If you're going to veto something, then you have a Bible reason that you need to veto it. Are you listening to me? Well, yeah, but I mean, this kid's saved and he's sincere and he's attending church, but, you know, I just don't like him. Well, he's not marrying you. I just kind of always thought that this one would be so much. Stop. Stop. Okay, are you listening to me, parents? I mean, I've got this pendulum swinging clear over here where I've got psycho parents Then I got it swung clear over here where I got rebellious children. And somewhere in the middle, there ought to be a meeting place and some good common sense. Now, if your parent comes to you and says, that's not the right one, and they have a good Bible reason for it. For instance, what would be a good Bible reason? Well, young person, if they're not saved, then that is slam dunk. I mean, the Bible says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, all right? Well, but they say they're saved, all right? If there are not fruits, evidences of salvation, then anybody can say anything. And because your heart, you've allowed your heart to get involved, you will believe anything where your parents don't believe everything. They look at the person, okay? And so I think you ought to listen, all right? And again, parents, I don't want you to come all the way over here and take this little principle and say, okay, I'm going to use this to control my children. I'm going to tell you right now, listen to me. I could put you in a plane and I could take you to homes. And I'm going to say, by the way, we got some homeschool families in here that I think are doing a fantastic job. But I'm going to tell you this. I can take you to psycho homeschool homes that have daughters that are 33, 30, and 28, and mom and dad are still unwilling and unable to allow any suitor to ever be good enough for them. Okay. I could take you to some other homes where young men, I can think of a family right now that's got some young men in it. And you know what? Mom and dad is never going to sign off on anybody that might have the possibility of taking their kids away from them at all. That if you're going to marry somebody, you're going to marry somebody here that is going to stay here. Okay, listen to me. I got a girl in Sacramento, California. She's 100% the will of God. All right. She prayed very diligently, very sincerely, and so did her parents about where she ought to went to Bible college. We wanted to get that right because we knew she'd probably meet the person that she'd marry in Bible college. You know what? Stop trying to raise your children for you. And listen, folks, I'm going to stand up. Parents, I'm going to stand up for you a minute, but get off your power trip. Okay? Back life up when you were 16, 17, and 18. All right, you kind of wanted to choose who you married. All right, now what I'm saying is this. I'm bringing the pendulum in. I'm bringing the pendulum in. Some of you young people will take what I just said and you'll use it as a club against your parents. You know why? Because you're a rebel. You don't want any input. Okay? And if your parents come to you, now listen, that means if your parents see that you're getting interested in a lost person, then they have every right and should say, and by the way, should say, no, absolutely not. You will not receive our blessing if you pursue this relationship. And you ought to be wise enough to say, thank you, mom and dad. Because see, your heart's feeling so strong, you're not thinking straight. And I don't care what you envision happening in the future, you're going to end up waking up one day married to a lost person and you're going to have trouble with your father-in-law. Because their father's the devil. And that's Jesus that said that. That's not me. Okay? Now listen, you know what? We were talking before church, and I just want to kind of give this to, and I don't get too many things going here. But all across this auditorium, there's people that found each other before they were saved. And you know what I'm amazed at? The grace and mercy of God. Some of the sweetest marriages were put together before they were saved, and yet God protected them in that area. There's some people that were saved and put together before they were going. They were saved, and they were put together before they were really in a church that taught much about this. And you know what? Again, God just kind of protected them. And they ended up with a wonderful marriage. But you know what, folks? Listen to me. If you have the teaching and the instruction, and you knowingly go against Bible principles, God a lot of times protects people who are simple and people that are ignorant, that just don't know any better. And some of the best marriages come out of those situations. But don't go home and use those situations to justify you knowingly doing wrong. Does that make sense to you? And so I'm trying to, again, just get the pendulum in the middle here. Let's get a good biblical, you know, Bible says depart not to the right hand or the left when it comes to walking the straight line. Let's not get crazy over here. Let's not get crazy over here. Let's understand, parents, that of course those children are very dear to you and you want them to marry within the will of God. And if it's a lost person, they ought to stand up in front of you and say, no, that's not God's will. Don't do it. You'll regret it. And you ought to submit to them, allow them to do that. If it's somebody that says they're saved, but there's very little biblical evidence of salvation in their life, there's a good chance they're not saved. Okay, so again, they're wise to stand up and say, no, that's not, let's take a look, a rational look at the situation. And let's understand that this is forever. And you know what, you got to live it out to the end. Okay, and so I want you to lean heavily. Boy, Samson, if he'd have listened to the suggestions of his parents, he wouldn't have spent a good part of his life blindly grinding corn for the Philistines. His life wouldn't have been cut short. Many a young person has lived a regret not listening to the advice of his parents. Get away from these songs, these movies. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth the counsel of his wife. Number four, let me give you this. Beware of anyone, young people, who tries to drive a wedge between you and your parents. Well, please listen to this. Go over to Proverbs chapter 6, and let me read a few verses there for you. Proverbs chapter 6. Again, this is, I kind of paid respects to this the other night, but I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to say it clear, and I'm going to say it plain. Proverbs chapter 6, if you look in verse number 20, Proverbs 6, verse number 20. What a good verse. Hey, preacher, do you have some verse about the fact of giving our parents veto power? Here's one, Proverbs 6:20. My son, keep thy father's commandments and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Why? Why is the purpose? What's the purpose of this? Of hearkening to your father's commandments, for not forsaking the law of your mother? Verse 24, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with thy eyelids, for by means of a whorish woman a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. You young men that are sitting up here, let me tell you something. You guys are good, clean young men. And let me tell you this. A strange woman hunts for young men like you. Hunts you down. I mean, they put it as a notch on their gun. Bragging rights. Young ladies, you're good, clean, pure, decent young people being. And you know what? They're hunting for you. I mean, that's a big bragging point down at the bar or in the locker room. If they get a corrupt one of those church girls, are you listening to me? Be wise, be wise, be wise, be wise. Now, what's going to protect you from that? Keeping your father's commandments, forsaking not the law of your mother, binding them continually upon thine heart, tying them about thy neck. If somebody is trying to separate you from your mom and dad and from the principles that they've taught you, they're doing it for a reason. And so be careful. Please be careful. I've always found suspect a young person who is possessive and controlling in his treatment of another young person. And when they want you to listen to them more than your mother and father, that ought to scare you. What are they trying to do? God loves us and asks that we love him, but he also encourages us to love our families and friends. Did you think that? Watch this. God loves us and asks us to love him, but he's not possessive and inclusive in that. He also encourages us to love our family and friends. He doesn't demand that our love be exclusively directed to him. And he's God. If anybody had a right to do it, God would. If a young person tries to turn your affection away from your parents by criticizing their rules and their beliefs, their standards, get away from him, get away from her. The right relationship with the person who is God's perfect will for your life will strengthen the other right relationships in your life, not weaken them or destroy them. Weak and insecure people are constantly striving to control others, and that's not going to make you a good marriage partner. And so just be aware of anybody that tries to drive a wedge between you and your parents. Now, let me talk about the last precept then, number five. Wise parents will encourage their child to seek the counsel of their pastor during the courting process. And parents, remember this. Not only are your young people emotionally involved in this process, but you are emotionally involved in this process. It's not just their heart. Your heart's connected to their heart. So what a wonderful thing that the Bible encourages us to get involved in this process, the pastor. Now, I'm going to kind of just kind of tell you how I feel about counseling, okay? I believe that most people, listen, I provide a lot of opportunities for counseling. Let me tell you when they are. 9:30 Sunday school, 10:30 Sunday morning, 7 o'clock Sunday night, and 7 o'clock Wednesday night. Now, folks, that's 54 times, 52 weeks a year that I'm going to get up and preach between, 15 and 20 minutes. And if you add all that time together, that's a lot of counsel. A lot of counsel when you do the math, especially if you're truthful about the figures. It's a lot, there's a lot of opportunities to teach the Bible and stuff. And let me say this, I mean this, 99% of what you need to learn from your pastor, if you're just here Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, I am not insecure in this area of my life. I like going home. I'm not the preacher that doesn't feel like I'm needed if I don't finish church. And those of you that need counsel, be sure to line up at my door after the service and wait there. And I'm not on a power trip. I don't need that. I like pizza when I get home. I'll hang around and talk. And I mean this, listen, folks. And if I feel like it's an absolute necessity, I'm not against some private counsel, but most people that are asking for private counsel, the honest truth is if they're the people that aren't here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Sunday school, and Wednesday night. Now, listen, every good core family in here from time to time is going to have a situation where they just need to come in and sit down with the pastor. And man alive, I'm honored. And you're showing great wisdom to do that. And young people, you don't need to meet with the pastor every week of your life growing up. But boy, you get to this area and this arena of life, and you really feel like your heart's going a certain direction. And, especially, number one, you feel like you got to hide it from your pastor. That ought to tell you everything you need to know right there. If you feel like you got to hide this from your parents and hide this from your pastor, that probably already is your answer. Okay? Because, come on, if it's right and good and holy and right, I'm going to be excited about it, okay? And your parents are going to be excited about it. If it's not, we're not. So why would you think it's something you need to hide? But, there are times every family in this church and every young person in this church, there are times when you need to sit down with your pastor. And parents, listen to me. Like I said, I've already set you up as the primary. And But don't pull the trigger on anything. Don't make a major decision. Don't let your young person make a major decision in this arena without having come and sit down and talk to the preacher about it. Okay? Because you say, preacher, where is that Bible principle? Let's go to Hebrews chapter number 13. Hebrews chapter number 13. Verse 7 and verse 17 are connected. In Hebrews 13, verse 7, Hebrews 13, 7, it says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. So the person identified as the one that the Bible says in the arena of the church, again, remember, all authority is limited authority, have a rule over you, is the one who's spoken unto you the word of God. Now, jump down to verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. Now, okay, let me give you this, all right? The soul, all right? We are triune being. And your preacher's taught this a lot, but I'm going to review it again because then you'll get it. Your body, your soul, and your spirit. You're a triune being, okay? Body, soul, and spirit, all right? The Holy Spirit is the one that that ministers to the newborn spirit. Okay? The preacher's authority or watch area when it comes to the church is in the guarding of your soul. I'm the watchman on the wall, and I'm watching for your soul. It's not your body. Been a handful of preachers been very well served to remember that. I'm explaining something to you here. It's your soul. Now, let's take a look at the soul. I've taught you that the soul is also a trinity. The soul is the mind or the thoughts, the heart or the emotions, and the will or the part of you that makes the decisions. You have to think about the ministry of the word and what we come here to do. I'm going to explain it to you. You know what I'm doing? You're coming here. You're receiving the word. The Bible says in the book of Acts, they receive the word with all readiness of mind. So you come here as an intellectual being. God creates, has given us a mind, a thinking capacity, reasoning capacity. And then somebody opens the Bible and shows you the Bible principles and precepts, because my entire goal is to get you to the point where you are thinking biblically. Okay? Because if you'll think biblically, listen, your emotions are a result of what you're thinking about and how you're thinking about something. Okay? So my entire job here, if you think about it, is to take the word of God and to try to affect your thinking, to get you to think scripturally so that you'll feel appropriately. You'll have the right emotions. If you think about something the right way, you'll feel about it the right way. And a lot of our decisions, folks, isn't just based on our intellect. There's none of us that can separate intellect and emotion. So the most logical person in here, some emotion is involved in the process. But if you're thinking right, you're feeling right, and you've got a good chance of deciding right. If you begin to think wrong about something, unbiblical about something, you're going to start having emotion. That's going to also produce a different set of emotions. And you're going to feel wrong about something. You're going to feel unbiblical about it, which means there's a real good chance that you're going to make an unbiblical decision. Now, if you think about it, when I said that a minute ago about I counsel Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, that's what I'm doing. I am taking you to the Bibles, and I'm pleading with you, please, with all readiness of mind, receive the instruction of the word. And the Bible tells you to then go and meditate on it day and night. Why? So you can be like that tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth its fruits in the sea. You're prospering. You're healthy. You're doing well. You know why that is? Because, listen, it's not Jerry Ross trying to brainwash you into thinking the way I think. It is me as a Bible preacher, all of us going to the scriptures, and all of us, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. This Bible will conform us to the thinking patterns of Jesus Christ. And that's the goal of the Christian life, to be like Jesus. So here's somebody that's watching for you young people's souls. And you know what? I begin to see that you're starting to think your philosophies of life are becoming unbiblical. So you know what I do? I walk up to the pulpit and open the Bible, and I say, we're going to fix this thinking. If you'll let me fix your thinking on this, okay? Now, young person, that's where you have to decide. Are you going to receive the Bible with all readiness of mind? When you get somebody with a rebellious, stubborn spirit, and I'm right and everybody else wrong, and you know what? Listen, folks, I've seen it, you know, scores and scores and scores of times. Okay? And it's not the preacher that's bad, and it's not the Bible that's bad. I don't care if it's my kid or yours. You know, some kids just get the point where they are not going to listen to the Word of God. They're not going to listen to the Bible. They're going to do what they're going to do, and everybody's wrong and they're right. And it really doesn't matter what the Bible says. And you know what? They're going to suffer the consequences that are laid out very plainly for them to read about in the book of Proverbs, okay? So my job is this. I'm coming in here, and I'm saying, now, listen. So when in this process, I want to make sure, parents, you know what this allows you to do when you come in and meet with the preacher? Allows, just, preacher, are we thinking right about this? Is there anything we're missing? When I make a phone call about something, am I missing? Is there a Bible principle that I'm missing on this? I'm thinking about doing this, this, and this. Am I safe within the Bible principles? Am I locked in? I'm not, that's what I'm worried about. I'm not interested in seeking human opinion. I call people who I feel like have good, solid Bible knowledge and Bible perspective? And is there something I'm missing? Well, have you thought about this verse? You feel like that weighs some on it. Yes, I do. Honestly, I haven't. Well, I don't know if it's right to do or wrong, but consider that verse as you're making the decision. You might want to adjust it or thank you. Thank you. Okay. All right. Man, I hope I never get to the point where I think I'm right about everything. All right. And if I'm not at 55, having spent 30 years in the ministry and 50 years saved, I promise you, you're not right about everything when you're 14, 15, 16, 17 years of age. Okay? And God's given you parents that love you and parents that have good common sense. And most of the kids in here got saved parents. And you know what? Good night. Be very careful that you don't get over to this point where nobody's going to, I'm going to make this decision, and good night. I've listened to this. This is our song and my song, and I watched this movie, and it worked out. And parents, I'm pleading with you. Listen to me. You take what the preacher said, because there is some things that are going on over in this arena that I think are keeping young people from. I mean, when a young person has to rebel against their mom and dad to marry another Christian young person, and they're being held captive in the home, and there's some crazy things going on. I'm telling you, there's crazy things going on out there. Somewhere in the middle of this is God's will. All right? And mom and dad, listen, want the will of God. Young person, want the will of God. You see, here we got the potential young person that wants to be married. Here's the parents. Here's the pastor. All three of us ought to want the same thing, the will of God. All of us ought to be praying for the one thing, the will of God. All of us ought to be working towards one thing, the will of God. And you know what? When God puts it together, it's amazing how he puts the peace of God in the hearts of a pastor. Sometimes it's a young couple. Two kids I never saw together. I didn't see that coming. And I step back and like, you know what? Those are two good kids. And hey, you know what? They have to live with each other. I don't have to live with them. If they, there's just no Bible reason, no reason for me to say anything except amen, I'll be there. Parents, again, it doesn't have to be the person you want for them. Get off that stuff. Some of you are matchmaking in the nursery. Okay, stop it, psycho mom. Stop it. Stop. Just pray for God's will. Pray for God. I've watched God put young people together in a lot of different ways. I've watched people go off to Bible college and meet the person that way. But I've watched a lot of other kids meet them some other way. Just want the will of God. And young person, before you make that final decision, I am begging you. You sit down with your parents. You sit down with your pastor. You look them in the eye and you say, preacher, this is the second biggest decision of my life, and this is forever. Am I missing something? Am I about to make the biggest mistake of my life? And I don't care how strong your emotions are at that point. That can change. But if your preacher or your mom or dad open a Bible principle and slide it over to you and point at a Bible verse, that's not going to change. And God's right. He's always right. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for allowing us to meet together. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, dear God. Oh, what an exciting thing. It's a fun thing to just watch the Lord put young people together. And it's a delight, Lord, to attend weddings as a pastor, to watch parents thrilled to be there, excited about the decisions. Young people who found the will of God. It's just nothing's better. Nothing's better than that. But I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, because the devil's got designs on the life of every young person here. And Lord, you've created us this way, dear God. You're the creator. You made us to be very strongly emotional creatures, Lord. And I pray, dear God, that you'd help us to enjoy that. I mean, what would life be without emotions? But Lord, I pray that you'd also help us, dear God, to always, always think through every decision. May our minds be right so that our emotions will be right, so our decisions will be right. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you help our young people. I look forward in the years to come. If you'll allow my life, dear God, to continue and give me good days, I look forward as I watch the young people being born and raised around here. I look forward to the day where I can go to their wedding, just stand there and wipe tears away and praise God. Lord, I pray, dear Lord, that you'd help them to get it right. We pray these things in Jesus' name.